meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, so great. Thank you all for joining the Latin Generation panel meeting. This is 12th of January 2017. And we have Mirjana, Dennis, Hazem, Pats, and Michael, and some on the call. So over to you, Mirjana.
Yeah, okay. I will ask everyone if you are in a position to switch to the Google Docs document. Sarmat has communicated the link in one of his mails before. So we shall look at the Google Doc version of the document and try to resolve them, let's say, the pieces which are not resolved yet.
Yeah,
we
okay.
have, oh yeah, we have enough people. We have enough people on the call, so we can start. Okay, let's start from the beginning, very first, from the beginning. I'm not sure. We had a few. Mekai has sent his explanation about some specific explanation, which we will find later before. I'm not quite sure how shall we proceed. We have some comments here done by Asmus on almost before 1 year. I have tried to resolve some of them. In one moment, we have to remove all of them to get to the clean text at the end. Shall we pass again through all these comments, or shall we start only with the new one, which is Sarmad, what do you think is the best approach?
I'm sorry, I just got disconnected for a while and just joined back. Could you repeat the question?
Yeah, we have our text in the Google Docs. We have some comments of the right side of the document. I have tried to resolve some of these comments given by Asmus in the May last year. In one moment, we have to remove all these comments or to say that they resolved to get the clean text of the document. I'm not quite sure how shall we do this. Shall I put just to that these comments are resolved? They will be probably removed. And it seems to me the text is almost finished. What do you think?
Right. So I think there are a couple of things. First, we can probably go around and see if those who are here have been able to look at the document and the comments, and if they have any feedback on them. Otherwise, if I think members need more time, maybe we can give we can discuss some comments here, so some of the more main ones, and then give more time for people to respond back, to so develop some context, I guess, for people who are joining for the first time. One thing I would request you all to probably consider doing in this call is look at the last section, specifically 3.2, which is the schedule. I was asked to propose something in the last call, and I've put in a tentative activity list, and I've not put in a schedule yet, so I think at some point we also need to have some discussion on whether this activity list sounds okay to everybody, and then put in some tentative timelines for the tasks, and see if we can fill that information in as well. So those are, you know, a couple of suggestions I would have. Thank you.
Sorry. I'm recovering from some kind of my cough will appear from time to time. From the last version of the document, we had just a few headings. I mean, this one is done. Let's first discuss this one, which Mekai have submitted. It is somewhere on the third page, I think, about clarification about diacritics. Mekai put it in the last section of the, this is the section in the last 1.1.1 diacritics. It is the easier part, and after that we shall go to the proposed plan and try to give some, to speak about it. Mekai have, I asked for a help about, for help about diacritics, and if everybody is okay with this text Mekai has submitted, I will remove the highlighting and leave it like he suggested. His suggestion, did everyone find the specific part of the document? We are talking about 1.1.1 diacritics and the last paragraph in the diacritics. I see.
Well, I can see it, but I can only see it read only because I don't have Google access here. So I don't see any comments. So I didn't realize that there was a difference if you were logged in or not. And I don't have access to my login where I am now. So that's, I see only the text which is published for everyone.
Yeah, you can just look at the last point and check whether that's okay for you. The last one starting with a letter with two diacritics.
Diacritics, for example, some Turkish letter, I suppose, so maybe typically represented in several ways. At the end of the the end of this paragraph says, however, these multiple representations are nearly always eliminated by normalization, and IDNs are in normalization form. I think we need the full stop here, something like this. Normalization form, canonical form, the precomposed form, and then I don't understand it exactly, but I suppose that Mekai understand it, and that this paragraph, that this sentence is correct.
As far as I know about Unicode, I mean, even if it's not pre-composed, there is a canonical order between the diacritics or the marks. So that should make it unique anyway, shouldn't it?
I suppose so. I suppose so. We have a unique representation of every letter, let's say, in Unicode. So I think we don't need to discuss the letters written with two Unicode codes or something like this.
Well, so this is Arman. I think in many cases, the normalization form is defined. But in any case, I think there may be some cases where one would need to probably define one. You know, there may be new characters formed by composing existing letters and marks, so new combinations for which the composed form is not defined. So in that case, I think it may be useful to note that in cases where...
Sarmad, we don't hear you. Sarmad?
think we lost him.
Yeah, we lost him. Yes, sorry, got dropped.
I'm sorry, I just got disconnected for a while and just joined back. Could you repeat the question?
We dropped you.
That's a joy of having telephone conferences. But we have strictly defined the scope of our work in MSR, and I don't think that MSR allowing at this moment the combination of two characters to form the third character. So we don't have the wish. In the future, maybe if new characters appear, they should be put first in MSR, and after that we can discuss its use.
But Miriam, there is always already marks in the MSR too. So and they could be used.
Oh, I sorry.
In combination with some other character to form it. A composed character.
Other letters, characters.
Yes.
So this is Sarmad again. Sorry, I got dropped off. So I think what we should probably say here is that we will have to deal with these combinations. In case we find those which do not have normalized forms. So that's something which we'll, the GP has, will have to deal with.
So you think we have to add in this topic that if any new characters appear, which is made by combination of character characteristic, we shall, what to do with them? I didn't catch properly.
Then we have to go back
and see if it's a problem.
Right, and try to address it, for example, by either adding sequences, which is a combination of letter and specific combination of letter and a diacritic, or deal with it somehow. But, you know, I don't, saying that it is automatically done, it is automatically done in some cases, but not in all cases. I think that's what I'm saying.
My suggestion is a comment at this place, a comment to say that if we find that we need some combined characters, we'll go back here and update and see how we treat it, how we handle it, and we remove that in the final version of the document. Just a placeholder so that we remember we have to go back here and make sure that we handle such cases, if there are any, in a proper way. So that we don't try to solve a problem that might not come at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it might be that we don't need it. We solve it if we need it. We don't solve it if we don't need it. That's my suggestion.
I'm a little bit confused because I'm not an expert in linguistic in this area. So I'm sorry, I will ask you, everyone, to just say before discussion your name to have it somehow noted who said what. The last discussion, the last proposal was done by?
Matt.
Because I don't... By Matt.
Well, this is... Yes. And I can... Matt. I can... Yes. I can volunteer to add a suggestion there for in the text after the meeting.
In the way you just explained before a few seconds, please, Matt, write it down, because if I write it, it will be wrong for sure.
Yes. I can add it to the text after the meeting as a suggestion.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for this. All the other things are, let's say, as it was before after the last meeting. Only the new thing in the document is the end of the text. Shall we try to discuss it a little bit? Proposed schedule of meetings and teleconferences. I
have a question.
Yes.
This is Matt. I have a question about 1.2.
1.2. Okay.
Yes. Principal languages using the script. And then it says appendix A for a longer, but probably not exhaustive list. Firstly, the list there, shouldn't we have just one list of languages? And shouldn't there be a list which points out what languages that we are assumed to support? And that in Appendix A does not seem to exist.
You see, this list of languages was made by, I made it before 1 year almost, and I have used some resources I found on the internet, so it is not exhaustive list. It is what I found on a few sites. I mean, Omniglot and some other one I cannot remember at this moment. After that, we have discussed how shall we choose the languages on which we shall work. And in this table, which is a big one, about 300 something languages, every language has some EDGIS, I think that's the right abbreviation, mark. How many people on how this language is classified? And all the other panels have some kind of agreement that they will work with languages with EDGIS score 1 to 4, maybe sometimes 5. And all the other languages will be, which has a higher mark, a higher value of this field, they will not be discussed. And I made a few tables. According to the first table, which is all the languages I can find in the internet using Latin script, although probably there are some languages which using Latin script, but they were not put in those sources which I used. So that was the criteria with which languages we shall work in the future. If you have any better proposal, will be good to discuss it.
But this Appendix A does not seem to appear in the document.
Sorry?
I don't see the Appendix A.
Oh, it is not here in the document. It is, sorry, you are the new one. Please, Sarmad, will you communicate the links to Max? To find all the tables we have done before. They are put in our wiki pages on ICANN site. They are over there. Maybe we have to prepare some information for the newcomers to the panel to find all the relevant tasks, all the relevant documents we have done before. I will mark it, prepare the info for new members, because it is somewhere in the ICANN wiki pages. I will communicate the links after the after this meeting. Is
okay,
it okay?
Thank you. Yes.
Yes, because we have done some, this panel has some kind of history, let's say. We have done it, we have started before almost 2 years, and at the end of the last, of the year, no, 2014, the first tables were prepared, then we had some problems to organize properly the panel, and now it seems that we have enough people on the panel to start working more seriously to produce what is expected from the panel. Okay, I will prepare the info about everything what we have done before, and I will communicate it on the list after the meeting. I have noted this in my notes. So you will see how we can select, how we have selected the group of languages for the first round, let's say. Maybe something will emerge during the work that we have to add some other languages in our discussion, but we have to start with something. And that was the first, let's say, first round. Okay, any other questions up to now? So we can start to discuss how shall we fulfill the this is something which Sharma added last time, 3.2 proposed schedule of meetings and teleconferences. Sharma helped us a lot because I was not very, Sharma has done a lot of experience with different panels, so it proposed this schedule. And Sharma, are you here? No.
Yes, I'm here.
This is Mark speaking. Which section are you referring to?
3.2.
This is also on the screen now from Adobe Connect if you want to look at that.
Oh, that's that.
But
we
this
got
is section 3.2.
We have now the document in the Adobe room. Okay, I think.
Right, so basically I was tasked last time to suggest a timeline, not a timeline, but a list of activities. So I've given a list of activities. If you'd like, I can take you all through it very quickly. And then we need to eventually finalize this list and then also maybe give a tentative plan that's sort of needed for this proposal. It doesn't mean that we must follow exactly that plan, but it's still a tentative plan from the group to say how we will be finishing this work.
Okay, Sharma, please.
So do you want me to...
Okay.
So if you look at this table, there are, at a high level, about four or five different stages. In the first stage, we want to develop a code point repertoire, which is a list of code points which should be included. The second stage, some of these code points may be variants of each other, or so we need to define those variants. As a third step, we also want to look at whole label evaluation rules. So variants are defined at code point level, but there may be some additional restrictions at label level. So for example, hyphen, or you know, at second level, there's some restrictions at hyphen, where hyphen can occur or not occur. Similarly, we could have some restrictions at for labels at level. And then finally, we need to put the whole thing together into a formal document and an XML proposal, which needs to be submitted to the integration panel for evaluation after taking it through a public comment. So those are the high-level steps. Coming back to the first step of developing a code point repertoire, obviously there are many, many code points within the Latin script which are shortlisted by the NSR. one of the first things is that we need to define which of those four points really should be included for the root zone LGR. So for inclusion, we really need to define a criteria. For example, one criteria which Mirjana was just mentioning was that the code point must be used in a language which has an EGIDA scale of 4 or less, or maybe 5 or less. That's something which we need to look at. We also, for example, need to look at whether we want to include combining marks or not, and so on. So there are, it may actually be a good idea to look at some of the other generation panels and see what criteria they may have used. And obviously, we need to define a criteria for Latin for this panel. Also, we all need to probably define some criteria to exclude any code points. And then finally, based on that, we need to look at all code points in MSR and derive a list of code points which we think should be shortlisted based on the criteria which we have defined. Once the code point repertoire is finalized, we need to also define criteria on how to define variants. So we need to have a working definition of what a variant is for Latin script. Also, there will be two kinds of variants. There are within script variants, and then there are some cross script variants. Variants with Cyrillic script and Greek and Armenian, for example. So we need to define some criteria for both kind of variants, and then based on those, the code point repertoire we have shortlisted, we need to go and look at it and see whether any of those code points are variants of each other. So,
hello? We lost Sarmad again, it seems so. I don't know, I cannot help. I see that the most difficult job is to develop the code point repertoire and to define all those criteria, which code points should be included and which ones should be excluded, because MSR put all the letters from Unicode, almost all the letters from the Unicode in to be considered, and our task will be to say these code points are used in those languages, and some of them are not used, although they are defined in MSR, and I'm not sure how shall we find the sources to decide which one is should be included and which one should be excluded. That's my main problem. All the others, when we defined code points repertoire, after that, I think all the other tasks will be much easier to fulfill. So our main help, Sharma.
Okay. This is Mark.
Mirjana,
speaking.
That's just referring
to
this is Mark. Yes, this is Mark speaking. I suggest that we start by picking languages that we have decided should be included. I mean, there's already criteria, at least 4 and maybe 5 on the list. We can take languages of 4 and lower or higher, whatever you see it, and then just start working. What code points are needed for this language and then go on, and it will be easy in the beginning, of course, but that will give us some experience of how to work. And then for each code point that we see, we can just tick off. And then it would be harder and harder, of course, with the languages, but that's how it works. But we get experience, and maybe we need to try to get other people to help us. But I think that we should just start working.
Yeah, but there is a lot of languages over there. There is a table. I cannot remember exactly how many languages are with 1 to 4 or 1 to 5, Marco. I always have EGIDS. And we have to divide it somehow between us to start working. We have to organize the whole thing somehow. Sarmad, are you back?
Yeah, but we can, this is Max again. I suggest that we just we give each participant, each member, 5 languages just to start working. And then we start to look, see how difficult it is and see what sources we find. I know it's quite complex. I've been working with pre-delegation testing in IDN in that, so it's quite complex. But that's at least that we get started.
Right.
And then,
sorry.
And then
this is a. Sorry, go ahead.
No.
Go ahead.
I'm done.
Okay. Please,
so,
Sarmad.
This is Sarmad. What I want to draw, I guess, your attention towards is that at this point, the task is to finish this proposal, submit it to ICANN, get ourselves formally notified, and then start the work. So at this time, I think what we should do is what we're discussing, maybe see what methodology we are going to follow, and based on methodology, put in some tentative high-level timelines in this table so that we can finalize the proposal and submit it for review and finalization. And as soon as we are then seated by ICANN formally, we can start the work. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarmad, but I have problem with the timeline, because how can we say we need 4, 5, 7 months, 2 years to develop code point repertoire? If we don't know how to start and how many people will work in it, how can we say that we will develop code point repertoire in, let's say, 6 months or something like this?
Right. So there are a couple of ways of doing it. First, as Matt suggested, that we estimate the number of languages which are EGIDS scale of, let's say, 4 and below. And let's say there are, 100 languages. There are 5 people who are going to be working on it. So we say everybody looks at 20 languages, and everybody can do that work in parallel. So, you can estimate it takes like 2 months or 3 months to get that data together, and then another couple of months to, merge it. That's one way of doing it. The other way of doing it is that you look at all the code points in MSR, and let's say there are, 300 code points in Latin script which are shortlisted in MSR, and we say that we take each code point at a time, and we only need to find one example of that code point being used in one of the languages which are EGIDS, let's say scale 0 through 4. So if there are 300 code points in total in MSR2, I can do that homework and tell you how many code points there are. Then we can say that, if we do, let's say, in a month, about 50 code points or 60 code points, it will take 3 months or 5 months, depending on how many code points we need to analyze. So that's another way of doing it. So it really depends on you guys on whether you want to do it language-based or code-point-based. But
hello, everyone. This is Mekhan Mumina. Just connected to the call. I will put my line on mute since I'm driving right now. Hi, everyone. Sorry for running late.
Okay, we have some job done before. I mean, during the time Chris has chaired this panel, he has started to fill the code points, the table with code points from MSR, and he found he resolved this problem with some amount of code points, because he specified where, in which languages some code points appear. So, I have tried a little bit to help him during this work, and it is pretty difficult to find how one code point is used, in which language one code point is used for the, let's say, for those languages which we are familiar with, it was very easy. But there are some languages, let's say from Australia or from Africa, or maybe some indigenous languages in Americas. We are completely lost. I was trying to do the job that way. How Chris has started. Maybe at the end we shall to combine the both methods. I don't know. One trying to find for every code point to which in which language it is used, and on the other hand to look at the languages and find all the code points which are used in this in writing those languages.
Right, so this is Samad. So one suggestion would be to just pick one method as far as estimation for this proposal is concerned and do that estimation and put that in. But when we actually start practically doing it, we can obviously use both methods. But idea is to just get a ballpark, I guess, number to put in the proposal and I guess for ourselves as well to see how much effort it may take. Just to move things forward. Thank you.
Again?
This is Matt speaking. I raised my hand.
Hey, Matt, sorry.
Yes. Yes. I think that we have to go from language, because otherwise we might not capture languages that require some combination of code point and mark or character and mark. I think we have to go that way. I think that it'll take a while, of course, but if we start working, we will see how much time it takes. It all depends on how much resources each one can provide and how hard and easy it is to find information. And the lower down we go on the scale, the harder it is. So if we say that we support 0 to 4, it's probably easier to find the information than if we say 0 to 5. So my suggestion is that we start by saying we support 0 to 4, and we start working. And I don't know how many languages we're talking about, but we let everyone get the 5 languages and start working on that till next meeting. And not meaning having done all 5 languages, but having done something, and then giving some feedback how it was.
Okay, Mats, please, a look at 2.2.2 overview language classification versus panel members. I've tried to give some suggestions. Those are languages grouped by classification, and we have, with languages 1 to 4, we have 180 languages according to the Omniglot ethnology site, although Mekai has some remarks last time we discussed it, that those sources are not very reliable, that probably there are languages which are not put in the, in this databases, in those databases. But at least at the first moment, at we have 180 languages in a different areas of the according to the table 2.2.2. So I also think that it is more practical to start with languages, which we choose for the first round to do, to work with them, and to see what will how the job will be. I mean, how what will be our results after a while, but we are discussing all those things at this moment just to say that we need, let's say, if we start with 180 languages and we have 6 or 7 people, 8 people on the call, so everybody has to deal with, let's say, probably about 20 languages for the start. And if we find all the resources, necessary resources on the net, I mean, using a few websites which we were used before, for to cope with 20 languages. The problem with the information which I was looking before was that you have the appearance of the letter, but you don't have its Unicode code. So we are. I was just guessing this letter is this Unicode code, and say, this letter is from that language. Maybe I was not clear, but I had problems working in the way Chris worked. So maybe the right approach will be to start with languages and see what will happen. That we have 20 languages per GP member. We shall need, I don't know, 2 months, 3 months to just verify the code points from the MSR. Any other ideas?
Right.
Okay, Matt.
This is Samar.
Matt has,
Let Samar speak first.
Let Samar speak. Okay, Samar, speak first, please.
Okay. Thank you. So I was actually going to suggest that if there is any support which is needed for the generation panel, we could probably look into providing that from ICANN. So for example, if there are too many languages and it requires significant homework which needs to be done, one possibility is that GP can request, for example, some support for linguistic research or somebody who could do that homework for the generation panel, so that generation panel can then move faster. So that's also a possibility in case the GP would like. Thank you.
Pat, please, the floor is yours.
Thank you. This is Mark Stafford. I think that a rough estimate says one language per week. Not more than that. So that would be like half a year if we have 20 languages per person. And in some languages it would be a little more difficult, so maybe some more months to complete the work. But I suggest that we are given, that you give us 5 languages each,
mm-hmm.
and not just easy ones. And then we test and report we start doing some work till next meeting in 2 weeks, at least one language, and not just take the easiest one, and see how it works. And I think we have to have this kind of iterative way of working to get forward. And then after that, we can maybe have a rough estimate. And I said that Wikipedia has a lot of good information in general.
Yeah, Wikipedia and a few more sites. I have it written somewhere. I will prepare all this information. Although the links could be found at the end of this document. Chris put a lot of references at the end of the document, which he used during the preparation of this document, the first version of this document. Does everybody agree that I'm fools, let's say, 7-8 languages? As much as we have members, and propose which languages should be used for a test, and we shall see how many time everybody needs to fulfill to verify the code points for those languages. That's what Matt proposed. Any other proposal, suggestion? Dennis has...
Dennis, yes.
Thank you.
Yes, Dennis, please.
So just let me put it out there. I was... So the first question, do we need to justify every single code point in the repertoire? Every single code point that we determine should be included in the repertoire. Do we need to define... do we need to justify by language?
Yes, this is Ahmad. Yes, we need to justify each code point included.
So, for example, I mean, the basic set of Latin is A to Z. Nobody will question why those code points are in the repertoire. Do we still have to say, yes, this Latin set is used in many languages like English, Spanish, Italian, et cetera, et cetera?
This was done before. I will send you the table which Chris was working on. And a lot of code points are verified in this table. We have some specific code points from very, let's say, exotic languages for us, which we could not verify during the Chris chairing this GP. So, some of job has been done. That's the proposal. That's why Max proposed that we choose some languages we don't know and try to see how many time we need to justify the code points for those languages. Because, let's say, basic Latin, Latin extended, or two or three first Latin tables in Unicode are almost verified.
Mm-hmm, correct.
But we shall lose a lot of time trying to verify code points for the languages in Africa, for example, or the languages in indigenous languages in Australia or Americas or something like this, which we are not familiar with those languages, you know. So, mm-hmm.
And that's the 180 count of languages that we don't know for sure?
No. That's not 180. That's much, much less.
Okay.
This table was just to see how many languages are with EGIDS 1 to 4 in the first table, which is not exhaustive, but the only one which I could make using information I found on the internet. It is roughly 180 languages. But, for example, all European languages are, let's say, all code points for the European languages are verified. For the languages
right.
used in Europe are verified.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and I don't have exactly the idea in my mind, but please bear with me. So in the MSR 2, I mean, we have determined that we have to justify every single code point, right? But
from MSR 2.
From MSR 2, exactly. We pick a code point and we say this code point should be in the code point repertoire, and this is why.
Because it is used in that and web language.
Exactly.
It is enough
but
to find one language.
Right, but it has to be at least one language. We don't have to say, we don't have to list every single language that the coupon is used.
No.
So.
No. Just one.
Correct, just one. So that's even better. So in the MSR2, there are eight, I think if my count is correct, there are eight Latin blocks, right, from the basic to the Latin extended and the IPA marks, etc. Thinking this as I go. So if there are eight, and I think we are about eight people in the group, why don't we each one take one block and go through the list of code points and the ones that are unfamiliar to us, we just check where it is used, in what script and what language it is used.
Yeah, we have nine blocks from Latin script. It is listed in 1.1 of this document. So
right.
What
I'm saying, for example. I'm just, hear me out. So, for example, in the block controls and basic Latin, there's no verification to do because clearly we can say this belongs to English or Spanish and we're done. So that's one less block that we have to worry about. So the next block comes
to
supplement, right? And then we have the diacritics. So I'm because Spanish...
Yeah.
I'm familiar with some of those, and I just can go and check the other ones that I don't know where they are used.
Yeah, someone wants to say something. Dennis, are you trying to say something?
Okay, sure.
Hello?
Sorry.
Hello?
It was Dennis speaking.
Yeah, please.
This is Mark speaking. As far as I see it, going from block is the wrong way because we should go from language. Because I think that when we comes to marks, combining marks, we should have a contextual rule limiting its use. So we should say with which other code point to use this, and this means that we have to start with the language. So we have to go to the languages and see what need the languages have. I mean, the purpose of our work is to support TLDs of the languages. Not TLDs of the code points. And so it means that we have to start with the language to see what is the need of each language. So I still think that we should start with the languages. And when we see A to Z in a language, it's easy. We can just skip that and look at other code points and see what other code points does this language require, and list that. And we can also, while we're working up our repertoire, we see that, okay, this code point is already covered by, say, Spanish. or German. So I don't need to add some verification for it. But this one is new. This one has not been verified before. I add this one.
Okay, Sarmad, you raised the hand.
No, I think what I wanted to say was already covered. So I just wanted to say that we need just one example of a language for each code point to mark it and include it. So I think Dennis already mentioned that. Thank you.
Those are different approaches to the same problem. One is from the data processing view. I mean, this one, verification of every code point is used in any language. And the other one, which Max tried to suggest, is that we have to serve the communities. I mean that we have to serve every language using Latin point to that the people using that language can make TLDs in their languages. I don't think there is any conflict in those two approaches.
Maybe I agree. There is no conflict.
We have to decide only which one is easier for us.
Well,
just
this is much. This is much. I mean, if we go by code points, how do we handle the diacritics? Can we have diacritics just saying that this diacritic is allowed to be used by in combination with any code point? I don't think so. I think that we have to say that this diacritic is allowed to have in combination with some specific code point. And that's, Sarmad is the right person to answer that. Because if we have to specify the combination of diacritics, we have to go by language and see what combination of character and diacritics that we have to support.
We are back to diacritics, which are not clear to me. Please, Sarmad, say.
This is Sarmad. So, just a quick comment. I think at some point we'd probably end up doing a hybrid approach in any case, where we are looking at languages at some point, and then we're also looking at core points at other points. So it's eventually going to be a mix of two approaches. I don't, taking one and not taking the other. As you were saying earlier, they're not in conflict with each other. So I think we can start with one approach and, take care of, look at it from the other approach as well, and just keep moving forward, either. So one possibility is to just look at, do some initial exercise and try to get a feel of how to move forward. Thank you.
To me, it seems a little bit safer to start this approach with languages, so we shall not miss any combination of the code points which is used in the languages. And in the same time, we can use the table which is produced by Chris, where a lot of code points are verified. So it seems to me that it is better approach to start from languages and see what will happen. So if we start with languages and we have 180 languages roughly, we have to make some estimation how much time we shall need to fulfill the task. All this discussion is just to try to make some timelines for our for the task we have specified that we have to fulfill.
Mirjana, if I may.
We are back. Yes, please. Dennis.
Yes, this is Dennis. Thank you.
Please.
I want to go back
Please.
To your comment and kindly disagree with the assertion that we ought to go using the method of language will guarantee coverage of the coupons that the language is using. Let us remember that MSR2 already caps what the coupon repertoire with that we ought to look at. So there may be coupons that a language is using, but it's not included in MSR2, and by definition, we have to exclude it.
Yes, of course. Because at the beginning of this document, it is said that we are working with MSR2. This is the table, which is the main one we have to verify. And all the other code points, which are not included in MSR2, there is a specific procedure how the new code points should be included in MSR2. So we have not to take care about all those code points which are not in MSR2. Our main task is to verify that all the code points in MSR2 are used by some languages. That's how I understand our job. Yes, Sarmat, please.
To comment on that, if the generation panel feels that there is strong evidence to include a character which is not in MSR2, they can actually make a proposal to the integration panel. And if the case is correct, then the integration panel will revise the MSR and include that code point in the next version of the MSR. So if there is clear evidence of omission, then that actually can be fixed as well. So that's another possibility. And I also want to remind you that we're probably over time, so we would probably want to close the call at some point as well. Thank you.
Yeah, we have passed 1 hour. We have spent the whole hour discussing those things, but we don't have after this call. We do not have the conclusion how shall we fulfill the timeline for our schedule. Sarmad, what was the experiences of the other panels? You have been in a few of them. So what was their approach?
I'll put myself in the line, Mariana, to respond to you. But Max just raised his hand. Do we want to
put
him?
Okay, please, Max.
Yeah, my guess is that it will take 9 months to complete it if we divide the languages up, at least 9 months. We could we start working on that? Do we have to have a definite answer today?
No.
Otherwise, I think that we should start working and get experience.
We have to finish this document and give some timelines in order to the generation panel to be seated. We are not seated yet. We have to get approval from the integration panel that we understood our tasks and that we can cope with the problems we have. And after the integration panel says, yes, this document is okay, we can start working. We can make a test before that, but I'm not sure is this test enough. Will that test give us enough information to properly fulfill our timelines in our schedule?
So, Max, you want to go again? This is Sharma.
I think we have to do some rough guesses. So, in 9 months we have analyzed the code points in the Latin script through the inclusion. That's, 10 months from today. Release for public comment by Latin GP, 12 months from today. 1 year from today.
No? Isn't it too short? You think all
that? That's the guess of today. And then we have what we scroll down. I mean, that's not the finalized. I was talking about if you scroll up.
Yeah.
It's the previous page.
Okay.
The first section.
Time, maybe we should end the call.
Yeah, the release for public comment by Latin GP. The first, that will take a year. That's my guess.
Thank you for this, because I have no guess. Okay, we can start with something and see how the things will going on. We have to adjust. I think we could adjust these timelines according to the development of the how the things will proceed. I don't know. Okay,
so
someone has to please. Hazem, please.
Yes, please. I was just asking, do you know the number of languages using the Latin script? How many languages would we test?
I don't, roughly 180.
180. And do we have tables with code points for these languages? Are there tables with the code points used in each language of them?
There are some tables on the internet for those languages, but the problem is I didn't find the code points and the letters in the same table, in the same source. I don't know. Maybe the source exists. I couldn't. Yes?
Maybe we can combine them in the case that it's not in the same place. But I mean, if a language doesn't have any source of information on the internet, it's most probably not used on the internet.
I suppose so.
Yes. Then, and after having the tables, we only check the code points which are not special characters for that language, not the usual APC characters.
No, yes, of course. We have to check the special languages for those IDN characters. Usually, only IDN characters, because all the others are checked.
Yes. So I think we can then roughly estimate the time it will take, if we know how many code points we have to check.
We have to
This is Sharma. Small comment. I think it will be useful for you to see how much work is already done, because when this generation panel was being earlier, there was a lot of homework which was already done. So I think once Mariana shared those links, it will be a good idea to see how much of that work is done. You know, Matt's initial estimate of 6 to 9 months I think is reasonable, but a lot of that work has already been done. So based on that, you know, that estimate actually may come down a bit, not much. But in any case, I think we can, once we've looked at the data, we can come back probably in 2 weeks and see if we can try to estimate this.
Yeah, okay. So we have... The conclusion for this call is that I prepare all the information what was done before to ask politely everyone to look at the information which are processed and to prepare for a discussion for the next call to try to fulfill the schedule and the timelines for our schedule. Is it okay with everybody? No objection at this moment. No hands up. So I will prepare the information, send it to the mailing list, and ask everyone to look at the the information we have prepared, and the job which was done before, and we shall try to finalize this table during the next call. Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much for your discussion and your valuable input. We shall meet in 2 weeks, and that's all. Oh, I have one thing to also, maybe I will resolve it with Sarmad. We have one guy who is only French-speaking person. Is there any kind of help from ICANN to translate some parts of the document for this person to help us? Because he knows, as I understood, I cannot remember the name, he's well informed about African languages.
Right, so it's Sarat, and she's been participating over email.
That's great.
Yep.
Okay.
And sure, we can try to find some help. What I was aiming to do was, once we generate a summary, we can use Google Translate to translate it to French. Not really good. Sure how good that is, but that is another way of doing it.
Yeah, we shall see with her.
Okay. Mekhan.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Yes, Mekhan. Sorry, I didn't see the...
Just briefly, I'm not connected to the Adobe Connect room. For the French translation, I think we had secretariat support before from a lady from the Turkish ICANN office. I think she should be bilingual in French. She was also helping us when we had the TFAIDN meeting there. Maybe she could assist. Maybe we could ask the Turkish Istanbul ICANN hub if they could ask her to help us with, for example, preparing summaries of call results and stuff like that.
Oh, that's very valuable information. We should try to contact Istanbul Hub. I mean, Sarmad will try to contact them to see if they can provide any help with French. Okay. Anybody wants to speak? To say something? If there is... everybody is typing? Okay. I think we can finish the meeting today, and we have to think we have materials to think for the next call, and I will provide all the relevant information, so what was done up to today, I mean, which tables we have, and we hear each other in 2 weeks. Michael, you want to speak?
Yeah.
No? Yes, please.
No, I'm fine. That's okay for me.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
We'll talk.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. We'll talk in 2 weeks.
Yes. Okay, bye. Yes, please. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Bye.